Journey to the West, Chapter 4.
Monkey King traveling to heaven. He's with Tai Bai Jinxing, the spirit of Venus.
Right, the official escort. But straight away, the text gives us a clue about Wukong.
About his speed, yeah.
Exactly. It says they traveled by cloud, but his somersault cloud, the Jew, was different from the rest, extremely fast. So fast, he leaves Tai Bai Jinxing behind.
Wow, he's literally outpacing the official heavenly guide. Arrives at the South Heaven Gate first.
And what does he find? Not exactly a welcome mat?
No, a blockade. The gates shut tight, guards everywhere.
And heavily guarded is putting it mildly. The source names the leader, the growth heavenly king. How?
But then lists a whole load of others too, right? These powerful soldiers.
Yep. Great strength heavenly soldiers. And they're armed.
Spears, swords, halberds, the works. The text is clear.
Blocking the gate, refusing entry. Simple as that.
And Monkey King's reaction. Predictable, maybe?
Oh, immediate anger. He suspects Tai Bai Jinxing instantly. Mm-hmm. Thinks,
this old gold star is treacherous.
Huh. He demands to know why he's being blocked if the emperor himself summoned him. So Tai Bai Jinxing finally catches up, probably a bit winded.
Hey, yeah.
And he has to smooth things over. It's pure bureaucracy, really. Mm. Tells Monkey King to calm down.
And explains why the guards stopped him.
Exactly. It's because, well, he's never been to heaven before.
Okay.
And crucially, Teiji, he doesn't have an official name or rank in their system yet.
So the guards just don't know who he is.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
They don't recognize him. So, you know, they can't just let some unknown figure wander into heaven. Standard procedure, even if it's the Monkey King.
Right. Tai Bai clarifies, you know, you have to meet the Jade Emperor first, then get your rank and your official name registered. After that, things are different.
But not before. Monkey King still seems a bit annoyed, threatens not to go in.
Yeah, but Tai Bai coaxes him. And the way through isn't force, it's paperwork. No. Or the celestial equivalent.
So Tai Bai speaks to the guards. He does. Announces formally, clear the way. Identifies Wukong as a lower realm immortal.
And the key phrase.
I have the Jade Emperor's imperial decree to summon him.
The magic words. That does it.
That does it. The text says, Jehom, the heavenly king, and all the soldiers then pull back their weapons and stand aside. The decree overrides the standard procedure, basically.
And Monkey King, finally satisfied, goes in with Tai Bai.
And once they're past that gate, wow, the description just explodes. The source really goes all out painting this picture.
What's the first impression?
Just sheer radiance.
Thousands of golden rays, auspicious mists. Just dazzling.
Even the gate itself sounds incredible. Not just stone, right?
No. Shaila, made of dark green glaze, decorated with bright, precious jade.
And more guards inside. Oh, yeah. Dozens of higher-ranking marshals, chael standing like statues, holding banners, and over 10 sukshot. Golden-armored divine soldiers with spears and swords. Real heavy security.
The text even says the outside was impressive, but inside.
The outside was tolerable, but inside it was astonishing. It just keeps getting grander.
Like the pillars with the dragon.
Exactly. Shell, golden-scaled, sun-shining, red-whiskered dragons wrapped around them. And bridges with phoenixes. Sea-silk, colorful feathers, red crowns.
And the sheer number of buildings, 33 palaces.
33 palaces, yeah. It lists some names. Sold. All with these amazing roof decorations, these golden beasts on the ridges.
And 72 treasure halls.
72, like, pillars decorated with jade kulins. I mean, the scale is immense.
It's not just architecture either, is it? It mentions flowers and herbs.
Right. The Longevity Stars platform has 1,000-year flowers that never fade. And near the alchemy furnaces, 10,000-year immortal herbs. It's like timeless perfection.
And then there's the audience tower. The description of the clothes there sounds very formal.
Oh, absolutely. Crimson robes like stars, lotus caps like gold, jade pins, pearl shoes, purple ribbons, gold seals. It screams status and hierarchy.
You really get a sense of this ancient, complex court assembling. The bells, the drums.
Yeah, when the bell rings, officials present memorials. When the drum beats, everyone pays homage to the Jade Emperor. Even the Jade Rabbit and Golden Crow are there, part of the ceremony. It's cosmic order in action.
And all this leads them towards the main event, right? The Lingxiao treasure hall.
The Hinian. And the description stays just as detailed. Golden nails on jade doors. Joe hurtful phoenixes on crimson doors. Intricate architecture. Corridors.
Let's attack.
Connecting paths. All exquisitely detailed. And dragons and phoenixes everywhere. Adia. Plus that big golden gourd on top. The texte.
And inside the hall itself, more celestial beings.
Loads. Attendants, guards, heavenly consorts fanning, jade maidens holding scarves. And the guards sound even fiercer here.
Heshetesh, fierce generals, majestic ministers.
Even the decorations are next level. Taisu pills.
Yeah, these potent elixirs piled up on glazed plates. And ta-ta, coral trees and agate vases. Just ridiculously precious stuff everywhere.
The text sums it up perfectly, doesn't it?
Exactly. Heavenly Palace has every kind of strange thing. Nothing like it exists in the world. It hammers home just how unique and rich this place is meant to be.
Okay, so after taking all that in, this incredible tour, they finally reach the entrance of the Lingxiao Hall. Time to meet the boss.
Right. Taibai Jinxing goes first. Follows protocol. You know, Qi Xiekar, you know, Qi Xiekar doesn't wait for a summons, goes straight to the emperor and bows.
But Monkey King, he does things differently.
Yeah. The text specifically says, Chapana. He just stands there upright watching, no bowing.
So Taibai presents him, calls him the Thuor, the demon immortal, and the Jade Emperor asks,
who is that demon immortal? Seems like a simple question.
And Monkey King's answer is just, perfect Monkey King.
Isn't it? Steps forward and just says, Fizz.
Old son is. That's it. No titles, no deference.
And the court goes nuts. The ministers are totally shocked, appalled. They call him Tur, this wild monkey.
And they basically demand his execution, right? Yeah, for disrespecting the emperor, not bowing. A capital offense in their book.
But the Jade Emperor, he reacts surprisingly calmly.
Very surprisingly, he issues a decree, basically saying, hold on, his reasoning.
Si sit la.
Meaning, he's a lower realm demon immortal, just got a human form, doesn't know the court rules, let's excuse him for now. It's almost like, well, he doesn't know any better. Pragmatic, maybe?
Less about forgiveness, more about acknowledging he's an outsider.
Pretty much. The ministers have to accept it, of course. They say, Hino, thanks for the pardon.
And then Monkey King makes a gesture.
Then, yeah. Only after being officially excused. He gives a nod or a bow, but still probably way less formal than expected.
Okay, so the awkward entrance is navigated thanks to the emperor. Now, the reason he was summoned, the job.
Right. The emperor tells the officials, basically, check the civil and military rosters, see where there's an opening, and give Sun Wukong a post.
Find him something to do, so they check. And after all that grandeur, all those palaces and halls.
The Marshal Quistar Lord reports back.
Yeah.
And well, it's a bit anticlimactic.
Tempo.
He says pretty much everywhere is fully staffed. All the palaces, halls, departments. No vacancies.
It's AT. Only the Imperial Stables needs a supervisor.
The Jade Emperor.
He gives Sun Wukong an official title.
Beemowin.
Roughly translates to Supervisor of the Imperial Stables.
And Wukong's first reaction, the text is super clear. It says, Huan Huan Shishi.
Which means?
Absolutely overjoyed. Like, genuinely thrilled to have an official job in heaven.
Seems that way.
Ready to start.
And he doesn't waste any time. He gets to the Imperial Horse Stable. The Yuma Jian meets the team already there.
The supervisor, vice supervisor, clerks, attendants, the whole crew.
Checks the books, gets the lay of the land. And the scale of this job hits you. He's responsible for 1,000 celestial horses.
1,000. Wow. And not just, you know, regular horses.
Oh, no. The source lists these incredible types. Names that just sound fast and powerful, like Hualiyu Kiji, Lungmei Zgan.
Chitu Choguang, Siji Dayon.
Right. And the famous Bajun Jingyi. The text goes on about their spirit, like whinnying into the wind, chasing lightning.
Stepping on fog, ascending clouds. Their strength is long-lasting. These are serious celestial powerhouses.
Exactly. So Wukong isn't just, you know, cleaning stalls. He's managing these amazing creatures.
Okay. And there's already a system, a division of labor.
Yeah. The text mentions it. The clerk handles feed logistics, attendants do the grooming, watering, prep work. Supervisor and vice supervisor, they assist.
Right. But then there's Wukong's approach. This is where his intensity kicks in.
Totally. The source makes a point of his dedication. Says he worked zubushui.
Day and night, no sleep.
Diligently nurturing the horses, diyang mabi. He really threw himself into it.
Gives examples too, right? Like waking up horses to make sure they eat.
Yeah, waking them up for grass, bringing wanderers back to the troughs. Real hands-on stuff.
And it works. The source says the horses were Rufei Bioman.
Well-fed, plump, healthy.
So he's actually good at this. He does this for, what, over half a month?
Just over half a month, yeah. Diligent work. Which leads us right to the turning point.
And it happens, kind of ironically, during a celebration for him.
Exactly. After this period of success, the other officials, you know, his colleagues, decide to throw a banquet, welcome him properly.
Okay, here we go. This is where it gets really interesting. During the meal, Wukong asks a question.
The crucial question. He asks about his rank. The pin, or gray G pin.
Basically, where does Bima Wen fit in the grand scheme of things here in heaven?
And their answer just flips everything. They tell him, may you pin Kong.
Meaning?
No pin from the hierarchy. No official grade.
Okay. And Wukong's first thought, according to the text, is, well, kind of optimistic.
Yeah, he figures no pin must mean it's so incredibly high it's above having a grade like ZGA, the greatest rank.
Oh, boy. You can just feel the misunderstanding brewing.
And the officials quickly shut that down. Buddha Buddha. Not large, not large at all.
They tell him it's called Weiruli.
Which means not in the flow. Outside the official system, basically.
So not in the flow.
Oh, it's bad.
Oh, it's bad.
Hmm. They spell it out. It's the lowest, smallest rank, Mo Deng. Just watching horses.
Wow.
And they even detail the performance review aspect.
Yeah.
You get a good if the horses are fat, but blame if they're skinny. Fines or punishment if they get seriously hurt.
So wait. For 2 weeks, Wukong's been working himself ragged, day and night, thinking he's got this important, respectable job.
Uh-huh. Only to find out it's literally the lowest rung, no status position in the entire celestial government. Heaven's stable boy.
And his reaction is, well, it's pure Wukong, isn't it?
Absolutely. The source paints a picture. Sintahuaki heart flares with fire. Yao Ya Danu bites his teeth, roars in anger. He sees it as a direct insult. Miao Shi Lao son, belittling old son.
And he immediately contrasts it with his life back home. On Flower Fruit Mountain, he was Chengwang Chengzu.
Called king and ancestor.
Right. Now he feels tricked into this. He calls it a lowly task for young juniors and the humble. Deeply insulting to him.
Yeah, the language there really shows how far beneath him he feels this job is.
So his response. Instant action. Buzuta, buzuta, wo jingui.
Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm out of here.
And he doesn't just walk out. He bagangan tuido. Pushes over the official desk. Dramatic exit.
Gets his weapon out of his ear, the Rui Jingu Bang. Makes both the Guan Lai Kunchi.
Uses his fighting skills, Yulu Jishu, and just battles his way out. Straight out the stable through the South Heavenly Gate.
And there's that interesting detail about the guards at the gate.
Yeah, the heavenly soldiers. They know he's got an official appointment. Chola Xian Lu. They know he's the Bima Wen.
So even though he's clearly furious and leaving without permission,
they don't dare stop him. Because technically, he holds a post, however low. The bureaucracy sort of protects him even as he rejects it.
Wild. Okay, so he's out, fuming. Where does he go?
Straight back home. Presses down his cloud, lands on Flower Fruit Mountain.
Finds his crew there, the generals.
Yep, his four valiant generals and the other cave kings are there, training troops, keeping things going.
And he announces his return.
Loudly. Shout him in, Lao Sun Lael. Little ones, old son is back.
And how do they react?
They're ecstatic. Kowtow, welcome him back to the cave, put him on the throne. A big welcome banquet starts up.
And they congratulate him, assuming he's had this great, successful stint in heaven.
They think he's been gone for ages, like over a decade.
Right. For him, it's been, what, 2 weeks? Maybe a bit more.
This is where we get that famous reveal. Wukong's confused. I was only gone just over half a month.
And the monkeys explain the time difference.
One day in heaven is 1 year down here on Earth.
Whoa. Imagine that adjustment, missing a decade of your monkeys' lives in what felt like 2 weeks.
Serious temporal whiplash. So naturally, they ask him about the job. How did it go?
And Wukong's mood just crashes again. Shame, anger.
He shakes his head. Bu hao shu, bu hao shu. Not good to talk about. It's just shameful. Mortifying.
He blames the Jade Emperor directly. Says he doesn't know how to use talent.
Explains he was made Bima Wen, that not in the flow rank. admits he didn't get it at first, just enjoyed the stables, playing around, basically.
Only found out the truth when he asked his colleagues at that welcome banquet.
And that's what caused this Sanjanda now, the great anger, led him to flip the desk, quit, and leave.
And the monkeys, they're totally supportive.
Thrilled he's back. Lady how, good you came back, good you came back. They agree, why be a stable boy for heaven?
How could you bear to be his horse groom? Being king here is way better.
Exactly, more respect, more joy. They call for more wine to cheer him up.
So he's back, he's king again, rejected heaven, then visitors arrive.
Right, while they're drinking, someone reports two single-horned Oni kings are outside. Want an audience.
Wukong says let them in.
They come in, bow, very respectful, say they've heard about his reputation, recruiting talent.
But they hadn't managed to meet him before.
Right. Now, seeing him back after getting a heavenly post, their words, obviously Wukong sees it differently. They've brought a gift.
A dark yellow robe. Ji Hong Pao.
Yeah, a congratulatory gift. And they offer their service using that humble phrase, offering the labor of dogs and horses.
Wukong must have loved that after the insult in heaven.
He's clearly delighted. Puts on the robe. Everyone lines up, pays respects. He immediately gives one of the Oni kings a title.
Back in charge. Creating his own hierarchy. What title?
Front general supervisor and vanguard. Instant promotion.
Okay, so things are looking up for his ego again. Then the Oni King asks about the heaven job.
Yeah. After thanking Wukong, he asks again about the heavenly position. Wukong repeats his complaint. Jade Emperor Kingxian, undervalued talent. Made him be Ma Wen.
And this is the moment. The Oni King hears this and makes a suggestion.
The pivotal suggestion.
Yeah.
He says, look, with your power, why 10 horses? Why not be Ki Tian Da Sheng?
Ki Tian Da Sheng.
Great sage equal to heaven.
What's stopping you?
Wow. That title, it just lands perfectly, doesn't it? After the Bi Ma Wen insult.
Oh, absolutely. The source says Wukong's joy is overwhelming. Han Shibu Sheng. He just keeps saying, how, how? Good, good, good.
It's the perfect comeback, really. From lowest rank to equal to the highest.
Exactly. It's not just rejecting heaven's hierarchy. It's proposing a completely different one, where he's at the very top, co-equal. A direct, audacious response.
He doesn't waste a second. Tells his generals, make a banner. A banner. Put those four characters on it. Ji Tian De Sheng. Raise it high.
And his command is clear.
Absolutely. From now on, only call me Ki Tian De Sheng. Not great king, not the Wang, just great sage equal to heaven.
And spread the word to all the other demon kings.
This is his new identity. Declared, not granted, born directly out of that humiliation.
Fueled by the insult of Bi Ma Wen, sparked by the Oni King's suggestion. Classic Wukong.
He's abandoned the stables, left everything in chaos. How quickly does word get back to the Jade Emperor?
Oh, incredibly fast. According to the text, it's almost instantaneous, coming from two directions at once.
Two. Okay.
Yeah, first you have Zhang Qianqi. He's a major Taoist figure. He personally leads the stable officials straight to the emperor. They report the Bi Ma Wen, that's Wukong's official title, just walked off the job. Defiantly.
Wow, the stable guys go right to the very top. That tells you something.
It really does. And at pretty much the same moment, the Growth Heavenly King, he's one of the guardians at the Southern Heavenly Gate, sends his own report.
Saying what?
Saying the Bi Ma Wen just marched right out of heaven, bold as anything, back down to the mortal world.
So, multiple reports, same message. Wukong's gone rogue.
Uh-huh. No ambiguity there.
So what does the Jade Emperor do? What's the immediate reaction?
No hesitation at all. Issues a decree, basically all hands on deck, tells everyone to get back to their posts, and then immediately orders troops dispatched.
Ah, the military option.
Yep, to capture this monster and bring him back for punishment.
Swift response. And who puts their hand up for this? Who volunteers to lead the charge?
Two pretty big names step forward right away. You've got the pagoda-bearing heavenly king, Li Jing.
Oh, I see. Leaf.
And his son, the third prince, Neza.
Wow, Li Jing and Neza, that's serious firepower for a first response. They're not messing around.
Well, it shows the emperor knows he's dealing with someone powerful, even if maybe they don't grasp the full extent yet.
Right.
So Li Jing gets the special title for the mission, Grand Marshal for Subduing Demons.
Very specific.
And Neza is named Great God of the Third Altar of the Sea Assembly. Also quite grand.
Formal appointments just for this. Okay, so they gather an army, but who gets the unenviable job of being the first one to actually face Wukong, the point man.
That duty falls to Julingshen. He's appointed vanguard.
Julingshen, okay.
So yeah, there's a whole force, but Julingshen goes out front to issue the challenge.
And they head straight for Flower Fruit Mountain, Wukong's home base.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like when they get there?
Well, they set up their main camp nearby. Then Julingshun marches up towards the water curtain cave, and the scene outside is, well, it's quite something.
How so?
It's just packed with Wukong's followers. Wolves, tigers, leopards, monkeys, bugs, you name it. All armed, making a huge racket, trying to look tough.
Wukong's demon army, basically, ready for whatever comes.
Exactly. So Julingshun approaches this crowd.
And talks to them.
He bellows at them, actually, calls them names, you know, insults them, declares he's a top general from heaven sent by the Jade Emperor himself.
And the message.
Simple and brutal, tell your boss, the Bimo Wen, to surrender now, or I'll kill every single one of you.
Oof. Standard surrender or die stuff. How do the demons react?
Panic. Total panic. They scatter, running back into the cave, yelling, disaster, disaster is here.
So Wukong hears this commotion, hears a heavenly general is outside demanding he give up. His reaction.
According to the source, he's completely cool about it. Just asks calmly, like, what's all the fuss?
He hears the report.
Yeah, here's what Julingshun said. And his immediate response isn't fear, it's, bring me my gear.
Bring me my gear. I love that. He's not thinking surrender, he's thinking fight.
Exactly. Calls for the purple gold crown, the golden armor, those cloud walking shoes.
And the staff. Can't forget the staff.
Oh yeah, the as you will golden banded staff. He gets fully kitted out, grabs the staff, and just strides out to meet this general.
And the description of him coming out.
It's really vivid, all gleaming gold armor, shining crown. It emphasizes he's back to being the powerful demon king, not that lowly stable hand. The text even sort of foreshadows things, mentioning his aim to be the sage equal to heaven.
So he emerges, looking the part. Julingshun sees him. What's the first thing they say to each other?
Julingshun challenges him first, asks who he is. Wukong sort of dismisses him, maybe genuinely doesn't recognize him, maybe he's mocking, asks who this splashing hairy god is.
Okay.
So Julingshun puffs himself up, gives his full title, Vanguard for Heavenly King Li, and repeats the emperor's order, surrender or face destruction.
And here it comes, Wukong's response, which is way more than just no.
Oh, much more. He's absolutely furious. Furious about the stable job. Furious about this demand. He basically tells Julingshun to shut up with the boasting.
Right.
And says, incredibly, that he's only sparing Julingshun so he can take a message back to the Jade Emperor.
A message? Okay, what's the message? This feels important.
It's the core of it. He says the Jade Emperor basically doesn't know how to use talented people. And then he points to something new outside the cave entrance.
A banner.
The banner, yes. Julingshun looks up and sees this tall pole, and on the banner are four big characters. Ji Tian Dasheng.
Ji Tian Dasheng. Great sage equal to heaven. Whoa!
Exactly. This isn't just rebellion anymore. It's a specific, incredibly audacious political demand aimed right at the top.
He's naming his price.
Totally. He tells Julingshun, go tell the Jade Emperor, if he officially appoints me with this title, Great Sage Equal to Heaven, then fine, I'll stop fighting. We can have peace.
And if not?
If he refuses, I will personally storm the Lingxiao Palace, the Emperor's main hall, and make sure he can't sit comfortably on his throne ever again.
So it's crystal clear. The rebellion is now about achieving this specific status, equal to heaven. It's not just about escaping a bad job anymore. How does Julingshun take this breathtaking demand?
He just laughs coldly, dismisses Wukong as totally ignorant, outrageously arrogant for even thinking of such a title.
No negotiation then?
None at all. Just immediate attack. He raises his axe, the Mystic Bloom Axe, and goes straight for Wukong.
So heaven's answer to the political demand is just more force.
Pretty much. But Wukong, the source says, is a true master. He's not bothered at all. He just lifts his golden banded staff to meet the axe blow.
And the description of the fight itself.
It's got that epic feel, you know, staff named as you will. Axe called Mystic Bloom describes the axe flashing like a phoenix through flowers, the staff like a dragon.
Sounds dramatic. But was it actually a long, tough fight for Julingshun?
Not even close. The text is really clear. Mm-hmm. Julingshun is just leagues below Wukong in skill.
Right.
Wukong makes one move, like a light tap almost, aiming the staff near Julingshun's head.
It connects.
Just numbs the general's entire body. And at the same time,
breaks the axe,
snaps the handle clean in two. Julingshun is completely stunned, weapon broken, totally defeated. He just turns and runs.
Wow. One hit. And Wukong lets him go.
Yeah. But not before yelling after him, calling him Nongbo, Nongbo, which is basically like wimp.
Wimp. Adding insult to injury.
Totally. And he makes it clear, I'm letting you go so you can report this. Report heaven's first, very decisive defeat.
Message received, I imagine. broken axe and all. So Zhu Ling Shen scrambles back to the heavenly camp. How does Li Jiang take the news?
He rushes in, probably still shaking, falls to his knees in front of Li Jiang, admits total defeat, says Wukong is unbelievably strong, way too much for him.
And Li Jiang's reaction to this failure?
It's not great for Zhu Ling Shen, anyway.
What does he do?
He's furious, sees it as terrible for morale. He immediately orders Zhu Ling Shen to be executed right there.
Executed, just for losing.
Yeah, for demoralizing the troops. Yeah. Harsh.
But someone steps in, right?
Thankfully, yes. His son, Neja, steps forward, begs his father to spare Zhu Ling Shen, argues against it, you know, and crucially says, let me go, I'll go fight him.
Neza volunteers. Now, Neza is a much bigger deal in the pantheon, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The source really plays up his status, calls him a celestial Kirin child, a phoenix fairy, talks about his divine birth, that title, Great God of the Third Altar. He's presented as heaven's next level, their real champion, perhaps.
So, okay, Neza heads down. Wukong's probably just finished gloating over Zhu Ling Shen, maybe rallying his own troops.
Pretty much. Neza arrives, full of confidence, ready to go.
And Wukong sees him coming. What's his reaction to Neza?
Still feeling pretty high after that easy win, I think. He sees Neza and is apparently quite dismissive, asks who this little brother is coming to his mountain.
Little brother. Doesn't he say something about Neza looking young?
He does. Mocks him, basically. Says his milk teeth aren't gone yet, his baby hair isn't dry. Essentially calls him a kid who shouldn't be playing warrior.
Okay, that's not going to go over well with a proud deity like Neza.
Not at all. Neza is, understandably, pretty ticked off. Identifies himself properly, Prince Neza, third son of Li Jing, and states his mission. I'm here under orders from the Jade Emperor to capture you.
In Wukong's response, does he change his tune?
Nope. Straight back to the main point. Points right back at that banner.
The Great Sage equal to Heaven banner.
Exactly. Repeats the ultimatum almost word for word. Give me that title, we have peace. Refuse. I'm taking the fight straight to the Emperor's palace.
Same demand, same threat. How does Neza react this time? He's not Zhu Ling Shen.
No, he's not. He's furious at the sheer nerve of it. And he doesn't just attack, he transforms.
Ah, the famous transformation.
No, he goes into his battle mode. Three heads, six arms. And wielding six different powerful divine weapons. You've got a demon slaying sword, a demon cutting saber, a demon binding rope, a demon subduing pestle, this embroidered ball thing, and his famous fire wheels under his feet.
That is visually impressive. And intimidating.
It's meant to be a serious display of heavenly power.
So how does Wukong react to this? Three heads, six arms, six weapons coming at him?
The text says he's actually a bit startled for a second. Sort of like, okay, this kid does know some tricks.
But only for a second.
Yeah. Then, almost instantly, Wukong does the exact same thing.
He transforms too.
Yep.
Also sprouts three heads and six arms. And his response to the six weapons, he just magically splits his golden banded staff into three identical staffs, one for each pair of hands.
Okay, so now it's three-headed, six-armed Neza with six weapons versus three-headed, six-armed Wukong with three magic staffs.
Exactly. And the source explicitly calls them true rivals meeting. This isn't going to be a one-hit fight.
How long does this battle last?
They go at it hard for 30 rounds. The description is intense, shaking the mountain, darkening the sky. Their weapons, or the images of them, multiply endlessly, filling the air like rain and shooting stars.
So a serious, evenly matched fight.
It seems that way, yeah. In terms of pure power and transformation, they're pushing each other. For a while, anyway.
But Wukong, mm-hmm. He tends to have a trick up his sleeve, doesn't he?
He always does. Classic Wukong move, right in the middle of this massive chaotic clash.
Yeah.
He secretly plucks out one of his body hairs.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Blows on it, whispers a spell, and it transforms into a perfect copy of himself wielding a staff which keeps fighting Neza.
The perfect decoy.
Absolutely. Neza's focused on fighting this double, this illusion.
And the real Wukong.
The real Wukong uses the distraction to instantly zip around behind Neza, unseen.
And strikes.
Yep. Brings one of his staffs down hard on Neza's left arm.
Ouch. Does that work? Is that enough to stop Neza?
It is. Neza's caught completely off guard, mid-transformation, mid-fight. He cries out in pain. The blow is too much. He's forced to immediately drop his transformation, gather up his six weapons, and just retreat.
Wounded.
Yeah, wounded and defeated. Flees back to his father's camp.
So, wow, even Prince Neza, Heaven's supposed ace, gets taken down. Not just beaten, but injured.
He gets back to camp. The text says he's actually trembling from the pain, reports straight to Li Jing.
What does he say?
He's honest about it, admits defeat, says Wukong's magic is incredible, far beyond his own, and he shows his injured arm as proof, says, I couldn't beat him.
Li Jing must be, well, speechless at this point. First, Zhu Ling Shen, now his own powerful son comes back hurt and beaten.
The source says Li Jing was greatly shocked and lost color, just stunned, muttering about how they could possibly defeat such a powerful creature, especially one who could injure Neza like that.
And does Neza remember to pass on the message about the title?
Oh, yes. He makes sure to report Wukong's continued unwavering demand, still insisting on being named Great Sage Equal to Heaven, and still threatening to attack the Lingxiao Palace if he doesn't get it.
Okay. So, faced with two defeats, his son injured, and this persistent, audacious demand, what does Li Jing decide to do now?
He makes a strategic call. He realizes they are completely outgunned with the force they have. There's no point pressing the attack now.
So fall back.
Exactly. He decides the only sensible thing is to withdraw the entire army, go back to heaven, report everything to the Jade Emperor, the defeats, Wukong's insane power level, Neza's injury, and crucially, that demand for the title, and basically request major reinforcements. A much bigger plan to surround and capture him later.
And with Neza hurt, they can't really fight again immediately anyway.
Right. So Heaven's first big military offensive against Wukong ends.
Sun Wukong. He's just beaten Neza, one of Heaven's warriors. He goes back to his mountain, Flower Fruit Mountain.
Uh-huh. Swaggering back, you can imagine.
Totally. And all his demon followers, the 72 cave demons, his 6 sworn brothers, they're thrilled. Big party, probably.
Must have been quite the scene.
But here's where it gets really interesting. He's high on this victory, turns to his 6 buddies, these other powerful demon kings, and says something like, look, I'm calling myself Great Sage Equal to Heaven. You guys need cool titles too.
It's almost like he's setting up a rival court right then and there. And it seems kind of spontaneous, which is fascinating.
Yeah, not some grand political plan, just boom, titles for everyone.
And the text actually lists them. These titles, the other demon kings pick. You've got the Bull Demon King, he becomes Ping Qian Da Sheng, Great Sage who pacifies heaven.
Pacifies heaven.
Bold. Right. Then the Dragon Demon King, Tae Si Frigi Da Sheng, Great Sage who calms the seas. The Rock Demon King is Teajer Hutian Da Sheng, Great Sage who confuses heaven.
Infuses heaven. I like that one.
Uh-huh. The Lion Camel King is Su Shen Tem. Yushan Da Sheng moves mountains. The Macaque King, Si Su Tun Fin Da Sheng, knows all. And the Yurong King, Kishan Da Sheng, drives spirits.
Wow. So suddenly you have this whole crew, all great sages. It's not just Sun Wukong anymore. That must have looked pretty threatening from Heaven's perspective.
You'd think so. It definitely escalates things. It's like competitive title claiming.
It does feel like that, like cosmic one-upmanship. And they weren't granted these titles. They just...
Exactly, just declared them.
So how did the actual Heaven react? Not so casually, I bet.
Not at all. Li Tianwang, the heavenly king with the pagoda, and Prince Neza, remember, he just got beaten?
Yeah, I'm probably not in a great mood.
Right. They rush back to the Jade Emperor, the big boss in heaven, and their report is pretty stark. This monkey is way stronger than we thought. We need more troops. Send back up now.
And Neza, the third prince, he really spells it out, doesn't he? He mentions the weapon, the iron staff.
The Rui Jingu Bang, yeah, his magic staff.
How it beat their giant spirit guy, and how Sun Wukong actually injured him, a prince of heaven. That's got to sting.
Oh, big time. Humiliating.
But also, crucially, he mentions the flag. The flag Sun Wukong planted outside his cave.
Yes. With the words, Great Sage Equal to Heaven.
It wasn't just boasting to his friends. This was public, a direct challenge. Like putting up a giant banner saying, I'm equal to you.
That's exactly how the prince frames it. He says, look, this flag, it's a demand. Recognize this title. Or, you know, maybe he comes knocking on the palace gates next.
So it's serious. Is the emperor worried about the title itself or just the power grab it represents?
Probably both. But the ambition, the audacity.
Yeah.
That's the core threat.
And the Jade Emperor's reaction. Calm. Measured.
No, not even close. The text says he was shocked, furious. His immediate order, execute him.
Just like that. No discussion.
Nope. Just find him, kill him. End of problem. It really shows how serious they thought this was. A direct threat to the whole cosmic order. You can't just let someone declare themselves equal to heaven.
Why execution straight away, do you think? Why not try to capture him again or investigate?
Well, it sends a message, right? Absolute authority. You challenge us. This is the consequence. Letting it slide could encourage others. It's about maintaining control. pure and simple.
Makes sense. But then just as they're about to, like, send out the celestial hit squad, someone speaks up.
Yes. Enter Tai Bai Jingxing, the white planet elder, sometimes called Venus. He steps forward.
The diplomat.
The diplomat, exactly. And he offers a different path. He argues against just sending more troops. He points out, look, fighting this monkey could drag on, cost a lot, waste resources. He uses the term you, basically, a tiring, costly effort for the army.
So he's looking at the practicalities. War is expensive, even for gods.
Precisely. And his solution is, well, it's a genius, really. Instead of fighting, why not just give the monkey what he wants? Sort of.
Sort of. How?
He proposes granting the title He's Due. Let him have it. But, and this is the key, make it an empty title. A ol.
An empty title.
Meaning.
Hero.
Meaning he gets the fancy name, the status, but no actual duties. And no salary.
Mm.
It's all symbolic. Like getting an honorary degree. Looks good, but doesn't actually let you practice medicine, you know?
Huh. Right. So it's a strategic appeasement. Given the name, but none of the power.
Exactly. Tai Bai Jingxing's thinking, his rationale, is pretty clear. He says this could basically calm his rebellious heart, stop him from causing more trouble.
And the bigger goal.
Peace, keep things quiet, stable. Ensure peace in heaven and earth. It's about restoring order without a messy fight.
It's a calculated risk, though. Did Tai Bai Jingxing really think this would be enough for Sun Wukong? Or was it just buying time?
That's the big question, isn't it? Maybe he thought the recognition, the name, would satisfy Wukong's ego enough. Or maybe he knew it was temporary, but better than war right now. It's smart politics, playing on psychology.
So the Jade Emperor hears this, weighs the options Nessie War versus giving this upstart an empty title.
And he goes for Tai Bai Jingxing's plan. We'll do as you advise. He issues the official decree, the Mi.
And guess who gets sent back down to Flower Fruit Mountain with the offer?
Our man Tai Bai Jingxing again. He seems to be the designated monkey wrangler.
The go-to guy for celestial damage control.
Pretty much. So he heads back down. But this time, Flower Fruit Mountain feels different.
How so?
The text describes it as...
Majestic, yes, but also bristling with killing intent. The party vibe is gone. Now it's an armed camp. Demons everywhere. Weapons out. They're ready for a fight.
So they're expecting trouble from heaven.
Absolutely. And when Tai Bai Jingxing shows up, the demons are immediately aggressive. They don't know who he is at first, or they assume he's hostile. Understandable, given the history.
Right. But Tai Bai manages to announce himself. Envoy from heaven, imperial decree. The message gets relayed to Sun Wukong.
And Wukong. Mm. How does he react this time? Does he think it's another trick?
Actually, no. He recognizes Tai Bai Jingxing, and he seems to think, ah, the old star's back. He must have good news this time. He actually says... A, he must have good intentions.
Interesting. So he's hopeful.
Seems like it. He orders a big welcome, chakra, flags, drums, the whole nine yards. He even gets dressed up.
Dressed up?
Yeah. Puts on his oak crown armor, covers it with an ochre robe, wears his tulle cloud walking shoes. He's presenting himself as the great sage already.
Playing the part.
Totally. And he greets Tai Bai politely, apologizes for not meeting him sooner. It shows a certain... awareness, maybe? Playing the diplomatic game.
So Tai Bai explains the deal.
Yes. He recounts everything. Wukong's first trip to heaven, his dissatisfaction, the fight with Neza, and then he emphasizes his own role, how he argued against more fighting and for giving Wukong this title.
Clever. Making himself look like Sun Wukong's ally.
Very clever diplomacy.
Yeah.
And Sun Wukong is thrilled. Tafa, the text says, overjoyed. He wants Tai Bai to stay for a feast.
But he has a question first, right? A crucial one.
Yes. He asks, is this titled Great Sage Equal to Heaven actually like a real position up there? Does it exist?
Good question. Is heaven just making this up for him?
He wants to know if it's legit. And Tai Bai Jingxing reassures him. He basically says, yes, it's real. I personally proposed it and got it approved. If it wasn't real, I wouldn't dare bring this decree. You can blame me if it's not.
Okay, so that seals the deal for Wukong.
Seems to. He's satisfied. They head off together, back up to the southern gate of heaven.
And the reception there? Still tense.
No, quite different. The celestial soldiers at the gate are all respectful this time. Tai Bai goes in, reports to the Jade Emperor that they've arrived.
And the Emperor makes it official.
He does. He officially grants the title, but he adds a little warning.
Ah, always a catch.
Hey, basically just don't cause any more trouble. A bit of an imperial finger wag.
And Sun Wukong, how does he take the title and the warning?
Surprisingly low-key. He just gives a bow, says thanks for the grace. No big speech, no bragging, just accepts it.
Hmm. Makes you wonder what's going on in his head.
Definitely. So, job done, title given. Now what? Does he just hang out?
Well, they need to give him a place, right?
Yeah.
Can't have the great sage equal to heaven crashing on a cloud.
True. So the Jade Emperor orders a mansion built. The Hisu, the great sage equal to heaven residence. And its location is interesting.
Where is it?
Right next to the peach orchard.
Yeah.
The Pantayuan, the place with the peaches of immortality.
Uh-oh. Putting the monkey next to the peaches. Seems like asking for trouble later.
Foreshadowing, perhaps? And inside his new residence, they set up two offices for him. The Tranquility Office and the Spirit Pacifying Office, staffed with celestial officials.
Tranquility and Spirit Pacifying. Sounds more like keeping an eye on him.
One might suspect.
Yeah.
And to smooth things over, make him feel welcome.
Let me guess.
Gifts.
Gifts. 2 bottles of imperial wine and 10 golden flowers. A little welcome package.
To keep him happy. Does it work?
For the moment, yes. He accepts them, immediately cracks open the wine, and shares it with the celestial officials, the 5 planets who escorted him there.
So he settles in.
He settles in. The chapter ends with him seemingly content, enjoying his new status, carefree in his heavenly palace. His name is now officially recorded. Peace has been achieved.